See you in person,
flesh.
Man.
In the
yeah,
flesh.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
You've done some OG epic UFO-based interviews I want to cover. I want to start with the UFO stuff because I feel like you did some really important early work on this topic, and people need to watch some of these interviews. You interviewed Oki Shannon, who is a lead project manager at
Los Alamos. Yeah, yeah.
But also was doing research with Hal Puthoff in the sort of vigilante capacity.
The working group kind of thing going on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When you're with a guy like that, because that was a great interview.
Yeah.
When you're with him offline, do you get the sense that he knows more than he can say, and that, like, because is there a sense that, like, there is a reverse engineering program and he just can't talk about it and there's some sort of undetectable dark matter there? Or is there a sense that, oh, you've kind of fallen prey to, like, the public narrative around UFOs and actually it's kind of this other stuff that we don't quite understand? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you get
well,
the distinction there?
Oh, absolutely. Because, like, for me, especially kind of coming through this subject over the last few years, I will admit that a lot of it starts to feel like campfire stories, just sometimes campfire stories with a TSSCI clearance attached to it. So it's like, you know,
sure,
like,
yeah,
that sounds amazing. But again, where's the evidence? Where's the actual, like, hard data for it? It's just a very interesting story from, no doubt, an interesting individual with an interesting background. But, you know, someone like Oshannon, I mean, he said to me a few things. He said that their working group in Los Alamos National Labs, it was kind of like an informal group because he was part of the, what was it, the theoretical physics group in the Pentagon, the ATP. I forgot the actual name of it.
Yeah, we should give the context for the audience, the Advanced Theoretical Physics Working Group.
That's the one,
and it's with Oki Shannon and Hal
John
Puthoff.
Alexander
John
and
Alexander,
Hal Puthoff, yeah. Like,
Stubblebein.
Yeah.
All these guys who are kind of deep, deep, you know, esoteric alternative physics.
Right.
But also kind of, you know, they have real credentials.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Army INSCOM, Stubblebine, John Alexander. I don't know. I guess maybe Army INSCOM as well, but maybe some DOE ties too. You know, a lot of like very intense kind of insidery types studying alternative propulsion.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that, you know, so you've got like this element where he was clearly involved in like maybe a formal, but certainly an informal part of his work was to look at the UFO subject. And he kind of looked at it as he said that they concluded that they're interdimensional objects coming down into a lower dimensional plane. He attributed it to the book Flatland, where he said, you know, the idea of this spherical object coming down into a two-dimensional plane, you're only going to see a cross section, a shadow of what it truly is. And he's of the opinion that that describes a lot of the UFO phenomenon. But again, like, you know, it's like very interesting ideas, interesting stories, interesting claims, but I've yet to see any hardcore evidence either way for any of these things. And I think that's the issue that I've come to in the UFO subject specifically. And maybe that's what's promoted me to slightly transition out of it, although I do think that ancient history has a lot of connections and correlations to the UFO field. Again, collecting these stories over time is really interesting, but I just want further validation of what's actually going on with this stuff. You
totally,
know what I mean?
Man. It gives you brain damage. It's a huge headache. And there is truthfully, it's a far cry. A saucer in a hangar and some ephemeral interdimensional object are two very different things.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if these things are being, you know, conflated or if there are the thing is, I was somewhat skeptical of the crash narrative actually. Mm. And then I just visited a crash site and what there, I don't know if you know who Scott and Suzanne Ramsey are, but they're the deepest on the Aztec crash in 1948.
Oh, the Aztec crash. Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
I thought that would be an interesting one to investigate, you know, as opposed to Roswell, which is obviously extremely popular and in the lore.
Right.
And I came in expecting to be like, this is the bullshit element of the UFO story. And honestly, dude, I came out being like, I think there's stuff to the crash.
So what was it that piqued your interest the most?
We went to the crash site and this is all filmed. The trees were like splayed out where a craft seemed to have been like drugged through the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
This couple, Scott and Suzanne Ramsey, have spent $600,000. And they're the most salt of the earth, like good people you'll ever meet. Like there's no like...
I think
weird.
I did catch a Richard Dolan interview of them back in the day.
They're very close with Dolan.
Yeah.
And so spending that much time with them, then realizing that the story, like how the story came out was this guy, Silas Newton. They claimed that he was part of some like doodlebug hoax or whatever.
But Silas Newton was worth $20 million at the time. Yeah,
which
adjusts
for inflation. Like, it's like that guy doesn't need to hustle people on a doodle bug oil thing.
No,
like, he was
no.
very successful.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. And then you have these FBI files on Silas Newton and Gebauer going way back to the, I think, the 30s or something. And they're totally redacted.
So I don't know. You know, I didn't come out being like I'm 100% sure, but it was eye opening for me.
Yeah,
I was like,
man.
Maybe there are these. Actual
I mean, I struggle with like the crashing of hyper advanced alien vehicles, maybe the disengaging through some sort of exotic scalar wave weapon system that we have or something like that. But I tend to lean towards that these are prototypes of our own work that are crashing and, you know, like happening all over the world, especially since it started kicking off. Like you said, Roswell, 1940s, 50s, Cold War, exotic energy, T. Townsend Brown, like all of these things happening, you know, because you've covered so much of that. Fantastic work on T. Townsend Brown, by the way.
Thank you, man.
Love that deep dive.
I figure it's a hedge, right? It's like if you're deep on the anti-gravity and then you're deep on the, you know, the UFO stuff.
Yeah.
Like one of them has to be right. The anti-gravity stuff would explain it, right?
Right. I think there's definitely been an incentive to create a smokescreen and a perception that anything that's operating in the skies that's going against what we understand to be like the kind of like standard aerospace and aeronautical abilities is an alien vehicle. And I think that's a very convenient smokescreen. And I do think that, you know, a lot of the stuff, a lot of the talking points in this kind of 2017 to present day narrative from, like, you know, New York Times all the way up to now is trying to create this incentivization that it's actually all alien. We can't explain all of this. We don't know what this is. We don't have this in our arsenal. We don't have this in our weapon systems. And I disagree with that entirely. I think they absolutely do have it. So I think there's probably, like, I mean, I'm convinced that there is some form of non-human intelligence interface, whether that's dimensional and kind of bleeding in or maybe even terrestrial to this planet and hidden or actually a, you know, space visitor from another planet. I'm open to all of that, but I think that there is definitely a case to be argued for a massive smokescreen of classified exotic energy.
Yeah, I agree with you fully. One of the other, probably the craziest interview ever done in UFO space, not done by me, Ross Coulthart, you, I don't know if you know what I'm about to say.
I have a feeling.
Bobby Ray Inman, who was...
highest level dude I've ever spoke to in my life.
Highest
kind of
level
terrifying.
Dude anybody terrifying. Can ever speak to. And they're like, that guy ran the government for
I have no
years.
Idea why he agreed to do an interview.
That was remarkable. So he was head of the NSA.
He was head of NSA. He was
deputy
head
director of the CIA.
CIA, DIA, I think the...
Federal Reserve Branch in Dallas or something.
SAIC.
SAIC, that SAIC?
He was the head of everything. Like, you know, like the head honcho.
If there is a legacy UFO program, that
bro
guy
knows
has his
it. Dude is like, well, yeah, like one of my guys is like a veteran in the U.S. Navy. Was like, he's definitely like MJ-12. Like, you know, he's,
he has to.
Has
if
to
there
be.
Is an MJ-12,
if there's an MJ-12, this
that guy's on
right
it. That's right. And I love the interview. The whole thing's hilarious because, like, you're doing this like autobiographical thing for the first like 45 minutes.
You can tell I'm warming him up,
right? Yeah, exactly. And then at the end, you go, "So, you know,
tell me about the aliens."
Yeah. You go, "This UFO researcher Bob Oxler called you."
Yeah. Well, I mean, in fairness, we absolutely smoothed it out afterwards. But he did feel a little bit like he was brought in under false pretense.
Okay.
When I was doing some background research on you, I came across a fascinating little segment from a documentary. It was a segment of an interview that you had in 1989 with a man called Bob Exler. Do you remember speaking to a man called Bob Exler?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, and during this conversation, he asked you whether you believed that the recovered vehicles would ever be made available for technical research outside of the military circles. And your response to this was, 10 years ago, I would have said no, but whether time has evolved and they're beginning to become more open on it, it's a possibility. So obviously, correct me if I'm wrong, but it just seems like you're suggesting here that you're aware of retrieved UFOs being studied by the military.
No, the answer was no. I would not. We're not. Absolutely, we're no retrieved UFOs. I have high confidence.
Do you anticipate that any of the recovered vehicles would ever be become available for technological research outside of the military circles?
Again, I honestly don't know. 10 years ago, the answer would have been no.
Yeah.
Whether as time has evolved, they're beginning to become more open on it. It's a possibility.
No, I mean, like, I told him that I wanted to talk about UFOs, but I mean, and again, the way that came about was another buddy of mine who was a US Navy veteran had an old number for him. And so we called that number and it went straight to voicemail. And so we left a voice message just saying, well, he left a voice message because it's easier for someone like that who's obviously got connection to him to speak on my behalf and just say, look, there's this guy who's really interested in talking to you. And basically like a week went by and we had nothing. And then my buddy was like, hey, he's messaged back. And it turns out that this phone number we had for him was an old phone that was like locked in a drawer. He just decided to check it on a whim. He hadn't checked it in years.
No way.
Yeah, I know, right? And he saw this voice message and decided to respond.
That's a crazy synchronicity.
That's why at that point I was like, this man's going to say the truth. Like, you know, this feels like it's aligned. Like this is meant to be. Like this is crazy. So I was like, you know, he was the only guest who asked, and it doesn't surprise me, for a pre-approved list of questions and talking points, like, what are we going to go through? So I was like, you know, obviously I need to mention the fact that I want to talk about UFOs, but I started off with obviously, like, you know, like his career background and geopolitics and national security of today and what he sees. And then, you know, at the bottom, I was like, and I want to bring up the, you know, 2017 UAP discussion and everything like that.
Yeah.
So I did say that, but I don't think he was expecting me to know about Bob Exler and actually have receipts and be ready to kind of come at him with, like, you know, challenges. And I have to say that, you know, with all due respect to the Admiral, you can see the body language shift quite profoundly when we move on to UFOs.
Oh, yeah.
You can see he's relaxed, he's talking, he's enjoying kind of reflecting on his career and everything, which is an incredible career. I mean, my God, this guy is just like, you know, up at the absolute apex.
Mm-hmm.
But then once we get into UFOs, even when I'm just asking the question, man, he's, you know, he starts getting tight. He starts bringing his body in. And when I asked him that first question, he was just like, no, absolutely not. No UFOs. None at all. Like, no way. And then a few times during the interview, which I think must have been him misspeaking, but it was kind of strange, where he kept saying, I am extremely confident that there is no other life in our galaxy.
I have a high level of confidence that within our galaxy, there is no other living life.
And I was like, you know, solar system would make sense, but he said galaxy like three times.
How can he be confident?
And also at the end of this, he said something along the lines of, I don't think I've given you what you were looking for, but I hope you'll listen very carefully to what I've said to you.
Mm.
So I have listened back and I'm trying to figure out what it was that
there's
might
some
have been
coded
like
basically
putting in, but this whole thing where it was like there's no life in the galaxy. It's like,
we should send our audience off now to decode this interview.
Right, right.
The message, Jay, if you find any sort of meta messages.
Yeah, because I'm fascinated in what he was trying to say. I feel like he was trying to put something down that I haven't picked up yet. So
the Vatican, City of London, you know, Knights of Malta. Do you think any of these groups have disproportionate power to them?
Yeah, like, I would agree with Kurzlov.
President Trump is confronting a growing backlash from his own base.
The fight is dividing MAGA supporters.
Donald Trump, he promised them, so he needs to do it.
Just this month, we learned a very hard truth, that our government is not our government. It's controlled by deeper power structures involving systems of blackmail and compromise.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? This guy's been talked about for years.
I'm, of course, talking about the notorious case of Jeffrey Epstein, his handler, Ghislaine Maxwell, and their client list, the rich, powerful elite that he procured sexual favors for from unwilling underage women.
And on the wall, there was a big artwork of a woman being by a walrus.
Oh, wow.
I'm also talking about Kash Patel, Dan Bongino, Pam Bondi, Trump, and his whole team campaigning on exposing Epstein's network, and then turning around and gaslighting the American public, acting like Epstein was a lone actor who took his own life in jail.
And are people still talking about this guy, this creep? That is unbelievable.
Just like you have the lone shooter theory with JFK, claiming that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. He obviously didn't. You have the lone sex trafficker theory with Jeffrey Epstein. Nobody believes the state line here. And this time, due to social media and podcasts, nobody believes anybody else believes this. And it's not going away.
I know for a fact documents are being suppressed, and they're being suppressed to protect individuals.
Wired Magazine, a fairly conventional tech publication, just revealed that the metadata from Jeffrey Epstein's prison cell video that was supposed to point to his suicide had been edited, likely using Adobe Premiere. And when it was originally released, a whole minute was missing. Ghislaine Maxwell is in jail right now for sex trafficking, but there are no perpetrators of the actual crime. Who were her clients? She sex trafficked young women too. You have all these women, these victims coming out, but you have no clients. That's a basic logical fallacy.
Justice now is holding accountable the perpetrators that helped him and participated with him.
That is unbelievable.
Finally, Team Trump is doing something really interesting. They aren't just engaging in the typical political food fight. They could say that the FBI under Biden just destroyed the evidence around Epstein because Trump telegraphed that they wanted transparency. But no, they're acting like Epstein was some lone sexual deviant who isn't part of some larger shadow network that actively has leverage over American leaders. They're gaslighting and telling you to look away. And quite honestly, they're acting like they themselves are compromised.
Is there a lesson for you, for anyone else looking at this?
Well, he's dead. So, you know, in general, you always have to be careful.
Anyways, like I said, everybody knows all this stuff. I don't have to tell it to you. What interests me and what we're going to cover on this show are the deeper threads around Jeffrey Epstein. What was he actually doing?
He certainly was not a financier in any standard sense.
Really?
That was a cover story, yes.
The thing with Epstein was he was obsessed with eugenics, yeah, and creating his own race. Like, he would talk about
egg-shaped
his own
dick people.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so that, like, egg guy, you know.
Right, so like maybe...
Figure out what the hell is going on here, I brought my buddy Jay Anderson on from Project Unity. He runs a great channel that's gone deep into UFOs, secret science, and ancient archaeology.
Okay, because if they were taking eggs, they've got underground laboratories, right? I'm taken there in September. I think they've taken my eggs. They clone a baby in 2002. No one ever hears about anything again.
Perhaps one of the lesser-known threads about Epstein was his obsession with secret science. More specifically, his obsession with gravity and propulsion. He would fly physicists out to his island, Kip Thorne, Stephen Hawking, Murray Gell-Mann. He funded Lawrence Krauss on the order of $250,000.
I desperately want to know why Jeffrey Epstein knew so much about my work. And I want to know why he was connected to my graduate program.
How did you know he was connected?
You can Google it.
But he was also obsessed with the Casimir effect, a scientific anomaly that might point to some form of zero point or vacuum energy, and if harnessed correctly, might unlock an entirely new mode of interstellar propulsion. On his little St. James Island, he built a temple with occult symbology, and one of his victims claimed to see a UFO while on Zora Ranch.
I saw a UFO when I was there, you know, outside at New Mexico. I went to have a cigarette and I saw a weird, like, lights flying, and then I had the weird thing waking up in the lab.
It was like he was a front, a global honey trap for secret science, arbitraging the lameness of modern academia and the sexual repression of its scientists. Perhaps the weirdest through-line with Epstein when it relates to UFOs is the fact that former OSS officer Donald Barr was headmaster of the Dalton Preparatory School around the time that Epstein got his job as a teacher there. Remember, the OSS was the predecessor to the CIA. Donald Barr wrote a sci-fi book called Space Relations about a future where humans have formed an intergalactic empire ruled by aristocrats. Half the book is about this intergalactic elite class systematically trading underage sex slaves and often using them to gain leverage over other elites. Ring a bell? Donald Barr's son is a guy named William Barr, the attorney general under Trump who personally visited Epstein's jail cell after he died to interview his last known cellmate, Efrain Stone Reyes, who apparently expressed skepticism around Epstein's suicide. Reyes died conveniently from COVID shortly thereafter.
This is the kind of stuff that gets you Epstein'd.
There you go!
We discuss it all. Cult control system, secret societies, mind control, Epstein, secret science, and we even bring our special friend along, Kurt Metzger.
The only guy who literally didn't work with the CIA is Steven Seagal. Hey, why do Disney kids turn out how they do? Well, Disney, the f***ing Rosicrucian that allowed the CIA to do stuff to him underneath Disneyland, and that's real.
Insanity ensued.
Maybe. There is a subterranean species that has lived on this planet for a long time.
Jay's expressed some frustration with UFO disclosure, He's also the only channel to interview a former director of the NSA and deputy director of the CIA on UFOs. But he's also more recently gotten into ancient archaeological secrets like acoustically resonant caves at Malta and skulls that look like gray aliens that they've found there. He's also as deep as anybody on the mysterious structure underneath the pyramids.
Was there a golden age of aerospace before our history started?
Without further ado, please enjoy this week's American Alchemists, Jay Anderson and Kurt Metzger.
It's cool, man. The ADHD in this room is real. Like, I've got it as well.
Different parts of the brain have different activities.
Well, you know that, don't you?
You people are evil.
Maybe you should interview me.